Okay, this month is the month of June. We're looking at signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Why would Jesus give us signs and wonders? Isn't just his speaking enough? You know? Isn't just his speaking enough? Or does he have to show signs and wonders to show that authority? Okay, who would like to have a dental surgeon work on your teeth and tell you all about it? Well, I saw a few hands go up, but maybe your hand will change if they've never actually worked on teeth before. They just talk about it. Who wants that? Your hand's not up anymore, okay? It's one thing for somebody to say that they can do something. It's a whole nother thing for them to do it. What about a heart surgeon? Yep. Oh, I know. I've seen pictures of hearts. I've read all about it. Brain surgery, you know what the brain looks like on a scan? They'll just dig around in there, you know. We really want somebody who says, look, I've done like 500 brain surgeries. Yeah, okay. And what's your success rate? Oh, pretty good. I think I'll stick with that one. Again, like this authority comes with the ability to do what you're saying you're doing. Isn't that right? You know? There's one thing to say it. There's another thing to prove it. We know when Jesus does his miracles, we read about his authority to speak, but then he does like the full stop moment or the microphone drop, whatever you want to call it, where he does the miracle. Remember the lame man that comes through the roof and they all say to, you know, what are you doing? And then Jesus says, well, I forgive your sins. And the Pharisees, teachers of the law, everybody's looking, how can you forgive sins? What authority do you have? And he says, well, I'll do the little thing, just get up and walk, you know. And so all of a sudden that authority was there showing that he could forgive sins because of the authority through the signs and wonder. So we're looking at today Jesus' confirmation of authority through his signs and wonders. It's confirmation of authority. Because as I said, it's one thing to speak it. It's another thing to show that you have that authority through the miracles that come with it. So we've talked the last couple of weeks about the different I am statements. So are we going to go through them again? I am the bread. I am the light. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the way. And I am the vine. Okay, so I'm just going through them again. Now here's some curiosity questions. Who knows how many miracles Jesus does in the New Testament? Like when correlated, anybody got any idea how many miracles he does? Yeah, Jordan.
It says in the scriptures he did more than what was recorded in the flyer.
Okay.
Not quite. He did 70 jobs.
Okay, pretty close. It's 37 if you look at it closely, but very good, you're in there. So, but the only two miracles recorded in John in Jerusalem, there's only two, believe it or not. So you can chase me up on that, you can look at that. But the two miracles that are other than Jesus rising from the dead, we're not going to put that one there because that's an incredible miracle. The two physical healings that he does in the book of John are written there for a purpose and a reason. Now, it's going to prove his authority as it comes through. So two miracles that the author John says these are really important miracles to put in this book. Why doesn't he write other miracles? We don't know, but these two are really significant. And so I'm going to take you on a journey. And if you want to take notes, please take notes because there's reasons behind it and understanding. Anybody got any idea of the two miracles? You know, it's not a fail or a pass. It's just if you've got any idea. Sorry? No, wrong, different race. That's all right. Different area, yeah. Yes, the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And the other one, any idea? Sorry? Blind man. Beautiful. Okay, we've got the two here, two miracles. So we've got the lame man who's been by the pool and the blind man who's receiving. Now we're going to read about those two. So why are those two miracles significant for John to write them down and to show Jesus' authority? So as we dive in, let's see what's happening here. John 5:5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he's had this infirmity and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. Oh, sorry, Jesus saw him. Missed that. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What do you think the answer would be? It's a bit of a logical question, isn't it? Okay. Do you want to be made well? Okay. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his mat and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." Don't you love that? You know, this guy's 38 years, he's been lame. And the Pharisees are like, "You're carrying your mat on the Sabbath." Okay. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" I'm going with that authority. And so we find this lame man in waiting in the thinking. This is a photo of the Bethesda pools. This is the excavation of it today. This is actually my photo when we were there looking at it. But it was a deep pool in that place. So next is John 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "Well, he is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then he said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath, again, Sabbath, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner, or you calling a sinner, do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So here we have this story of this man who's blind. Everybody knew that he was blind, and Jesus sends him off to the pool to wash his eyes. Here's a picture of the pool of Siloam. And this pool is at the end of the Hezekiah tunnel where the water goes through. Again, we've been there and seen both of these pools. So what's taking place? We have a man who's lame for many, many years. We have a man who's blind from birth. So we've got two significant things happening. Both of these are taking place in Jerusalem. So for those who like maps, I've got a map. It's a bit hard to see here to get an idea of what we've got here. But over here it says Jesus healed a paralytic man of the pool of Bethesda. And down here Jesus healed a blind man at the pool of Siloam. And in through here is the temple. So this is the walls of Jerusalem at this time. Notice how both of these take place in Jerusalem at a place of water. So I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. In Jerusalem, they've got this wonderfully big scale of what Jerusalem would have looked like at the time of Jesus. Some of you have seen this. I see Irene nodding ahead. I remember this or being part of this. So this is a scale of what Jerusalem looked like at the time of Jesus and the Second Temple. Look how large the temple is here. It's huge. So this is the temple here in this place. So where are the two places taking place? The Pool of Bethesda, up here to the north on the high part of Jerusalem. The Pool of Siloam, way down the bottom part of Jerusalem. So I just want you to get it. Sometimes I can read these places, but sometimes when you see them in your mind or in your head, you understand a little bit more. So on the north side, we have the Pool of Bethesda. And down on the south, we have the Pool of Siloam. Both places really important to the Jewish understanding, especially when we look at the Pool of Siloam. But we'll see all that in a little while. We'll talk more about it. So why is the author John promoting these two miracles, giving them such significance and seeing Jesus' authority in these two miracles? And I'm going to bring you back to the book of Samuel, to when David comes to attack the city of Jabus, Jerusalem, before it's Jerusalem. Okay, let's have a look. In 2 Samuel 5:6, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites." It was called Jabus. The Jebusites lived there. "The inhabitants of the land who spoke to David saying, 'You shall not come in here.'" but the blind and the lame will repel you, thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. That's the city of David. So have you heard the term Zion before? You hear Zionists? Zion? Zion is the Jebusite name for Jerusalem, right? So the Jebusites were there. Remember how Joshua comes in and conquers the land and tries to take all the cities and the places, but he can't take Jebus. It was a fortress. And the Jebusites said, you cannot come in here. It was an impenetrable fortress. But David sends his men to go there. Now, the Jebusites were so arrogant or believing that their fortress was impenetrable that they said, well, guess what? Even the blind and the lame will protect this city from you. So what does David do? Now, David said on that day, whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft defeats the Jebusites. The lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. See what it says? The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. So what's taking place? What's happening here? What are the similarities of the miracles? What are the similarities that are taking place? Both of them are happening on the Sabbath. Significant. Jesus is saying, I have authority over the Sabbath. Where do they take place? They both take place in Jerusalem. We've already mentioned that. The next one is similarity is the sin question. The sin question. We heard one of the disciples saying, well, why is this man born blind, right? Was it his parents' sin or him? You've got to understand in the thinking, the way the Pharisees had talked about it, that anyone that had a physical disability, disformity or something like that was looked upon as sin. So if you had sin, you were disabled in some way. And this has gone through the understanding, not from God, but the way the Pharisees teaches the law, the way they picked up things, that anybody that had a disability, it's because of sin. Because of sin, they couldn't. This is like an effect of sin. Now, some of you would say, well, how can it be that somebody born blind, you know, should be in this place of sin? And the understanding is the Pharisees would simply explain that in the womb, this baby in the womb was kicking the mother too hard, therefore the baby sinned and therefore the baby become blind. You can justify anything however you want to do that, right? So here's the understanding. The sin question is that place where disability comes in. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about that in a moment. The waterways, they both happen at the water. Both in Pool of Bethesda and the Pool of Siloam. They both have long-term sicknesses, but both of them received restoration through Jesus. So what's taking place? We just read about David being angry and upset about those with disabilities and that understanding. We always have to look at what's the spiritual implication here. The spiritual implication here in this understanding is that if sickness is from sin, This is a real problem, right? We don't see that today, of course. But neither did Jesus see it in that way either. Because what Jesus did was he showed he was the living water. when it came to somebody who was lame. Remember, this is a pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy, the house of mercy. Jesus was showing he was coming with mercy. Jesus was showing he was the living water. Remember, this water was stirred by the angel, apparently. Jesus was saying, well, I am the living water. We don't wait for an angel. I am the living water. And he comes and he heals and restores. And what's this restoration for this man who was lame? What can he now do? Sorry? He can walk, carry his mat. What else can he do? Come on, what else can he do? He can go to the temple. He can go to the synagogue. He's allowed to worship again. So this is Jesus conquering all this ideology, all this thinking, this bad thinking that sin meant that you can't go to the temple, you can't go to a place of worship, that if you were disabled, you can't go. Jesus said, no way, I'm restoring this. Why is this? This is for God's glory. What about light? Jesus says, I am the light. This man who can't see, who's blind, right? Can he go in the temple? Can he worship God in going to the synagogue? No, he wasn't allowed to because the Pharisees were controlling all this. And so the Pharisees, you know, you can't do this. It's Sabbath. You can't go anywhere. You can't go to worship because you're sinned from birth, all this sort of stuff. Jesus is bringing total restoration through. Do you get what's taking place? Do you get what's understanding? David isn't allowed. David, they're saying that the blind and the lame won't even let you hear into the Jebusite, into the city. Why? Because the sinners are there. The sinners won't let you come in. And Jesus saying, I'm coming to bring restoration to all of this. So John is showing through the word. John is showing through these two miracles that Jesus is restoring not just two people, but restoring everybody to understand that it's not about sin that makes you disabled or sick. It's not about that. He's come to bring restoration to everyone, to understand that Jesus has authority over all things. And because of that, he restores you and I. Because the sin that we carry, the sin that we struggle with, the sin that comes to us, the battles that we go through, he offers restoration. He gives us the word and he shows us miracles. He shows us he has authority and he has authority to restore us. Do you understand what's taking place? Reconciliation, he's reconciling us to him. Reconciliation is balance coming through. He's restoring us. And he asks us to see each other in an understanding, in our journey. Ask us to see through his eyes what religiosity has done, what people have done with power and control, what people have done. Jesus comes and says, I'm going to restore all things. Take you on a journey and give you that understanding of authority. The book of John shows us Jesus' incredible authority and how he restores and wants to restore you and me. So he says, come and follow in my footsteps. Come and follow in my footsteps. I am the living water. I'll show you that. I am the light. I'll restore you. The things that you can't see, I'll help you to see. Come and learn from me. Come and learn how I care and I love and I have compassion. Come and learn from me how I bring restoration. Come and learn from me. Come and live. Live such a life that you realize that you've been restored through Jesus. And then come and lead others to that understanding of who he is. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us that you are the living water in action, that you have authority. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light, that you have authority over our own understanding of darkness. Thank you, Jesus, that you come to restore, bring hope, to reconcile between us and you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for not being stuck in and being worried about the power and control of the time, but stepping forward and saying, no, I have authority over all these things. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.